Greetings from the Candy Colored Studio, where life is sweeter in candy color. I'm oil painter Katrina Berg, and I'm so glad you're here. I'll be chatting with you from my Midway, Utah home, serving up a palette of support, hope, and love with a side of realness. As a mother of five, including five-year-old twins, I know too well that life is rarely easy and jolly, but savoring the sweet moments gives us the strength we need to find peace, growth, and fulfillment along our journey. Again, so happy you're here and welcome.
I'm getting on a podcast, so don't make noise.
Welcome back to the Candy Colored Studio. I'm so happy you're here. I'm so excited about this episode. And just to give you a little bit of background, 4 years ago, I applied online to the AAUW Women Artists Exhibition. You can imagine my excitement when I found out that my landscape had been accepted into the show. As I sat in the opening and awards ceremony, I was overcome with feelings of validation and support as I listened to members of the local chapter who so graciously put on this labor of love to the community. Their experiences, as well as those of each trustee family member and family as a whole, who share about a woman relative who has lifted our art community and our community as a whole, whose legacy was now supporting our current and future art community. I remember talking my husband Carl's ear off when I came home. That is more than usual. It was a night not to be forgotten, and in so many ways enough to sustain me in my vision and purpose for quite a while. 2 years ago, I was able to have a similar experience, and this time I sat next to my bestie, college roommate, and lifelong friend, Nancy Olson, who is also an artist. It was a treasure to share that night together, and talking to juror Ashley Whitaker and other friends after the opening. This year, of course, the show was canceled in a traditional way, meaning we weren't able to present our work in person at the UCCC and share in the magic at the opening and award ceremony. But if there's one thing that I've learned from the COVID quarantine, it is that there is always another way. I talked with our local AAUW committee chair, Marilyn Scherer, who's right here with me, this show's juror, Susan Anderson, and artists Hillary Swingle and Nancy Andrek Olson. And we decided to share a bit of the magic of this show with you here in podcast land and, of course, on YouTube. I am confident that you will be lifted and inspired by these lovely ladies, and I am so happy to introduce each of them to you. So welcome, lovely ladies, Hillary, Marilyn, Susan, Nancy. So happy to have each of you here. And I'm just going to ask each of you to give a brief introduction. If you would share your connection to the art exhibit, where you live, your medium and style, whatever you want to talk about with your art, and then, of course, your participation in the art community. So let's start with our committee chair of the AAUW, Marilyn Scherer. Marilyn, welcome.
Well, I'm very happy to be here. I'm delighted that you're doing this. I was really kind of crestfallen when we had to cancel, and because we put so much effort into it. And so what you're doing is wonderful.
Well, thank you. You guys always, I mean, all the years that I've participated, you were always in the forefront with your big smile as I would drop off my art and come to the opening. And I loved always hearing your stories. And I'm really excited about having you here today. So let us know a little bit about your connection to this exhibition. I know this is not the first time you have been the committee chair, and yet it's been a little different for obvious reasons. But yeah, go ahead and give us a little introduction about you.
Well, okay. I actually came to art from the photography side and from the watercolor side. But I've been with AAUW in Utah here for quite a while. And this is actually an AAUW Utah project. It isn't just a branch project. So we have all the members in the state that support this. And it started in 1981 with an idea that we needed to provide more of a venue for women. And so the members raised money, and they went out and got as much philanthropic money, rather, as they could, created a trust to be sure it would endure And then they had a juried in their homes, I guess, or else in the venue. And then they took it around the state. They take it to Vernal, they take it to small communities so everybody in the state can see it. By the time I got involved in it, they were looking for someone to do the catalog. And I had been involved with various activities in AUW, and they wanted to do a color catalog. And since I'd done a lot of my photography and a lot of work on creating catalogs and such, I think they asked me to do it. And so it was my first, and I really loved seeing the art and working with the artists, and it was just really a joy. So I did three of them. And then this year, because the chair, Tracy Collins, she finally just had given up on it. She'd had it. I think she'd done it for like six or seven times, and that's a lot. So then I took over the chairmanship, and we got a lovely graphic artist who lives in Kansas to do our catalog this year. So it's been a labor of love for all of us, and there's been a lot of people within AUW that really deserve a lot of credit for this, because it's been maintained over a lot of years. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. And we have to start like a year from now, a year ahead of the exhibit will start. So.
Well, again, you guys have done such a beautiful job every year that I've participated. I'm always so impressed with the way that you go ahead and jump in and participate with the highest technology possible. It's something that so many of us struggle with, and you ladies really just take that bull by the horns and just go for it. And I've been really impressed with you. You're so awesome. Okay, so let's introduce Susan M. Anderson. Susan, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. It's a great idea to do this since the show can't be visited by the public. I am a curator. I've been curating for many, many years in California. My husband and I just recently moved here to Logan, Utah, where we live. And our two sons are with us now. They're college age. My husband got a job at USU in the museum. He's also a museum professional. I worked in a museum for about 7 years in Laguna Beach, California, before I left in order to just work from my home so I could raise our two children. But ever since then, because I had already sort of, I guess, gained a name for myself, I've had no trouble working as an independent curator. And so I've organized exhibitions for various Southern California museums for the last 25 years or something. And have some shows that I just did last year, and one that's still circulating, which has an interesting connection to Utah because it's on a high school art collection that was started in 1909, around the same time, I mean 1919, around the same time that the Springville Art Museum was started by high school students. So I'm very happy to be here. I'm not just a contemporary art curator. I also do exhibitions on historical art and have been focused on the art of California for all these years. But love to be able to dip in and do things on contemporary artists whenever I can.
I love that. I love that you're so versatile. I love to hear the fact that you and your husband, this is a shared passion and something that obviously that's important to your whole family, sounds like. I am curious, your boys, what are they studying in college?
Our son, Luke, who is in college right now, he is studying philosophy, but he had to come home because of the problems with COVID-19. So he's been here and just finally finished his semester from Brown University. So, and then Nathaniel just graduated about a year ago. He was a creative writing and computer science person. Wow. So
that's awesome. And it's especially, it's interesting for Nancy and I, because we're kind of in the thick of it. And with that, let's introduce Nancy. And so I would say, I have to tell you that Nancy, she received an award, thanks to Susan, the Ruth E. Turner Honor Award in the Best Watercolor Depicting the Beauty of Nature. And of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you get to enjoy the painting. You can see it right behind her. So welcome, Nancy.
Well, thank you for having me, Katrina. I appreciate you so much. You're amazing how much you do. And this is a great way to highlight this exhibit. I think it's really important because it highlights women's art. And, you know, I have been doing a project where I've been, you know, tallying different percentages in art around Utah, and it's still, women still are about 70%, 60% of the artists, but only about 30% of the show. So it's, so this exhibit is really, I love participating in it, and I'm so grateful to Marilyn and to the organization for putting it on, because it is so needed, and it's, to me, it's kind of pioneering in this area for sure. I mean, I think so much of our, the work that we see is so, so male dominated. I, you know, I'm a watercolor painter right now. I mean, I paint oil paintings too, but I am just a painter. I've been a painter my whole life, and I love the gardens and painting in nature and, kind of reimagining it in a way that's kind of dreamlike, and that is more about the experience of being in nature than the actual representation of it. So that's what a lot of my work is about. And I do work from home, and I am also a mom too. So anyway.
Yeah. So Nancy lives in Bountiful. She's got 4 children. And I want to say 12 to help me out. Are we?
Between 12 and 7.
7. Yes, that's
between
right.
12 and 7.
Yeah.
Oh, my youngest is 7. Yeah.
It's so great. Thank you for being here, Nancy. Okay, let's go to Hillary. And you guys, Hillary gets the award because she actually took off work to be with us. So you can tell this is a big deal, and we are so happy to have you. And Hillary was given the Juror's Choice Award, and her piece is absolutely exquisite. Again, we are so happy to have you, Hillary. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, I'm so disappointed that the show didn't go on, but, you know, my full-time job, I'm a healthcare worker, so I absolutely understand that that was the responsible decision to make, and so thank you for making that decision. I am a figurative realist painter. I work in oils, born and raised here in Salt Lake. I'm kind of relatively new to painting. I've been painting about the last 3 years in earnest. So I've finally gotten to a point where I felt like I should start reaching out to the art community, our local art community here. And last year I did a search for some local art exhibitions and came across this one. It's a biennial show. I was right in between the entry years, but I put it on my calendar and didn't know what I was going to enter, but knew that it was coming up and I wanted to participate.
Well, we're so glad that you did, and there's nothing wrong with preparing early. I don't know. I just feel like I hear about a show and I'm the same way. I put it on the calendar and generally means I need to wait a whole year to apply, but that's okay. It's a great way to get involved with the local events here. And again, we're so happy to have you. So Hillary, do you mind telling us what you do for the health care system?
Yeah, I work in cardiology. I'm a cardiac sonographer. I do cardiac ultrasounds.
Wow. Awesome. That is so great. Well, tell your coworkers, thank you for letting us borrow you.
Thanks, Linda, for working my shift today.
Yay, Linda, thank you. All of our hearts are with you and all the cardiacs. Okay, so this is great. So let's jump a little bit more into the show. Marilyn did a great job of giving us just a little brief introduction of our particular chapter of the AAUW. But Marilyn, is there anything else that you want to share about the background, or maybe you just want to dive into like the theme of this show? Whatever you would like to share about that.
Well, the theme, I think, was quite interesting. You know, last 2019 was when we were really going after ERA. We're still going after it, but it was on everybody's minds. And so that was one of the part of this theme, actually. It's celebrating women, and we always have that in the theme, celebrating women, and then there's usually two other words that describe it. And this time it was vibrant and equal. And I was surprised we didn't have more art that actually represented that, but I felt like it really represented what people were thinking about, what the women were having in their minds. And of course, art, usually you don't create it just right at the time of the exhibits. You have to work on it for a while. So that might've been part of it. But it's something that I think we really felt was important this year, getting that the vibrancy and the equality both, because think about all the vibrant women that are really out there now, not just in the art community, but in the political community and in just leading us. And they're just stepping forward. And we felt it was so important. So that was how that was chosen. And we've got a lot of work going on here in Utah. The AAUW looks to coalitions. And so we have all sorts of coalitions, like with the YWCA and with the Volunteers of America and with there's a group of women that are just really pushing for women's rights. And so AUW is always in there supporting everyone that's doing that. Oops, can't hear you. I lost you.
Oh, sorry. It also ties right back into, you know, these women that we talked about that support this whole, basically our community. And one of the things that we have enjoyed about this opening of the show is just sharing the stories of the families behind each trust. And so do you mind sharing a little bit about your mom and her award?
Sure. My mother was, she grew up in Illinois, raised three children, and painting was really kind of her respite. And she was kind of self-taught. She took a lot of workshops and classes, and she just really loved to sit down in the evening and work on watercolor, because she put out something that was really beautiful in an hour or two, and that was something that was just released for her. She painted into her 89, 88. She probably painted until she was 87 or so, I would say, and. As I said, we grew up in Illinois, but I moved out here first, and then my parents followed me, so they lived kind of across the street from me. And so we could paint together. I unfortunately was traveling a lot, so I didn't have much time to paint with her, but I really enjoyed it. She was just a special woman, and she just loved sharing the technique of art and getting other people involved and other people enjoying it. So, but in order to honor her, I was planning to donate anyway to this art show, because I always have. And I thought, well, gee, let's establish an award for her, because she was really quite influential with a lot of people, probably people that are gone now, but people that just getting involved in loving art. So I thought it was very appropriate. And then, you know, you're trying to get, what's her name? The other woman, I can't remember up to the name of the art, the war right now. But her mother was incredibly involved also, and she was kind of a naturalist, and she was a very interesting woman. Now, Hal Roberts, let's see, where is it here?
Marguerite?
Yes, thank you. My age is showing here.
Yeah, no, you're fine. And her mother was Catherine Louise Hal Roberts, right?
Yes, and the mother was the one that was was very active.
Yeah, and I looked up a little bit about her, and it did talk about, like you said, she was a naturalist, and she would go, I think she spent quite a bit of time in Florida helping with, I can't remember if it was state parks, but also she did quite a few, she painted and illustrated documents to help, obviously, to share the nature that was there locally. Anyways, it was really fascinating to hear about her. And that's what's incredible about this show is that there are more awards, and I should say artistic, creative families behind this show. I believe Susan, you can correct me. I believe there were 16 awards in this year's show. And I feel like, again, if you think about the reality that you've got 16 amazing creative families and women behind each of these, again, just, you know, supporting each of us and pushing us forward, I think that that's really powerful.
Some of the families, unfortunately, have kind of died off, and that it's been kind of sad because we really tried to find them this year and couldn't find even anybody that was left. But they meant something. I meant a great deal when they were given. So those women were all very important in the art world at the time.
So how many, what is the most, or I guess, the greatest amount of awards / families that have participated in this show? Do you know?
Well, this year would probably be the most. Although I don't know some of the others that might have actually just faded out because they were funded through the trust, and I don't really know how far back. But we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. There's about 10 families that are represented here.
That's awesome. So great. Yeah. Well, we're just so appreciative. I just feel like this is what makes this show so special because there are amazing people behind every aspect of the show. And again, it just creates this amazing feeling. So let's go back to the theme and let's let Susan share her general impressions about this year's entries, but more specifically, the themes that you felt, Susan, were emerging in the work submitted as you juried the show.
Okay. Well, I just want to say kind of as a beginning statement that it's really pretty touching what this show is really about and how it really does show me how this is an exhibition that really brings women forward that aren't afraid to really express women's issues. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the art, a lot of women feel a little bit pressured almost to try to paint like a man or something like that. And I really feel like here, and maybe it's Utah, I don't know, but maybe it's also this exhibition and its tradition. I really feel that a lot of the work, although it didn't directly address the theme, as Marilyn pointed out, it really, there were a lot of works about women's empowerment, and also about just issues that are pertinent to women's lives. And I find that very courageous in a way. It's very interesting. So, you know, paintings that express nurturance or family or companionship or the generational support of a mother and a grandmother, issues of identity, some. And then there were some that were kind of, you know, about the angst that of being repressed in some way. So it wasn't all roses. It was, some of the pieces did express something a little more difficult. But then there are the pieces also about the natural world, such as Nancy's work, which is sort of the epitome of all of them pulled together, and such a beautiful, really vision of beauty and a really large scale watercolor. And I hope she'll talk a little bit more about that, her approach. I also was really surprised at how strong the fiber art is here. And maybe that has to do with the university in Salt Lake. Maybe there's a really strong department there. Maybe one of you knows that. And so I think those were the main things, but overall, I feel like there's a lot really going on here. with the women's community. And I wasn't really sure that this stretched out all over Utah. So there are other artists from other areas. It seemed like it was my impression that it was mostly from the Salt Lake area.
No, actually, there's a strong community down in St. George, and there's a lot of fiber art down there. But no, it may not have shown this time, but if you really start looking at the addresses, it's from all over the state. And I think there's a lot of, say, women kind of getting into cowboy roles and living on the farm, that sort of thing, but also some, they're very much full of angst, like what the one who had the heart problem, and she was trying to express just how she had felt during that period of time, and empowerment, what Hillary's piece represents. And there are a lot of them, I think, that are really reaching for that. And then camaraderie. There's a lot of camaraderie shown in these, which I think was really fun.
So are there artists from Logan, for example, that participate? Because I was thinking of how great it would be to do an AAUW exhibition here, in Cache Valley. But
we can get their addresses. I don't know if necessarily participated this year, but we have them addresses for quite a few years.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know this, Susan, but I actually live in Midway, and there's usually a couple of us that participate up here. My good friend Suzette Gertsch has been in, I think, the last two shows with me. And so, we are a little bit off the beaten path. And I do feel like we tend to get a couple women from San Pete, County, and then, like Marilyn said, we'll generally get some women from the St. George area. But I mean, really, if you're not along the Wasatch Front, I mean, that is the majority of our population. So it does make sense why we do have such a high representation that appears like it's all from Salt Lake. But there's plenty of Utah County names that friends of mine that were in the show. But again, Wasatch Front, but generally, high concentration of us live in the north. So, and then to answer your question about the fiber arts, I have noticed that it seems like that particular media has really exploded over the past few years. But really, I feel like I've seen more mixed media and fiber arts, like a better, variety of mediums in this show than a lot of the shows that I participate in. And I would love to know, Nancy and Marilyn, what you both think about that.
Well, the best of show in 2013 was a fiber art piece. It was, did you see it? It's this one down here. And so there have been a lot of really excellent pieces. Quilts. One of the pieces this year that won the award was a huge quilt, and there's a lot of that.
I would say I think there's a strong tradition of fiber arts in Utah because of quilting. Yes. And a lot of people participate in art solely in that medium, and they do a lot of amazing things with quilting. And I think that's just something historical from the pioneers that still exists today.
Yes, I think you're right.
Exactly. And the Springville Museum even has their annual quilt exhibit. And so I believe that it is, just like Nancy says, it's a historical thing that we generally get to see on a regular basis. And yet I have been really impressed with this show, because I do feel like some of the shows that I participate are very heavily oil paint, acrylics. We get a handful of watercolors, but I feel like this show in particular is of a great variety of work. And I love that. I love that.
That's good to know. This hydrangea, which was the best of show, that is an incredible piece. And she's got a piece, Ashley's statement on the website that tells how she made it. It's just, it kind of blows my mind to think about the time and effort she put into that.
Well, and I think one of the hard things about having this show be canceled, I think that going to this exhibit, personally, trying to see the fiber arts is really hard through photographs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about how my painting was really hard to photograph because there's so much thick paint, but the fiber arts, I think it's even harder for them. Now, do we say her name, Diane? Is it Diane Levy or Levy?
I think it's Levy.
Levy. Yeah. Is that right though, Diane? That's how we say her name?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So everyone keep an eye out for that one. Very beautiful. Okay, this is good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, so let's jump and talk about Hillary's piece. Again, Hillary's piece, specifically, At Your Own Peril. Again, it is such an impressive piece. It's full of meaning and depth. Let's start with Susan, though. Susan, why don't you talk a little bit about the piece, and then we'll let Hillary talk about her piece.
Okay. Well, I chose Hillary's piece for the Jurors Award because it's such a powerful piece. And what I really thought was remarkable was that she didn't call herself a professional, and yet she clearly, you know, executed a really fine painting using classical painting techniques. And also she incorporated both personal and social commentary at the same time. So it just, I found it very, very powerful. And I loved the fact that she was inspired by the quote, she is not fragile like a flower, she is fragile like a bomb. So I'd really like to hear Hillary speak about her piece, how that all came together, what her inspiration was, and how she can have such mastery of technique after just painting for 3 years, did you say? That's quite amazing.
Oh, thank you. I painted a little bit in high school and then went to school for, you know, to work in healthcare. So I just picked it back up about 3 years ago. Yeah. I came up with this concept in preparation for a workshop I was taking from Doriel Kamey and Shayna Levinson. And if you're familiar with either of their art, they're just these powerful, inspiring women artists. They're both from New Mexico. And so I kind of knew that was the vibe that was going to be in the studio and wanted to take advantage of that. And around that same time, I came across that quote and it just resonated with me. I thought about how women have been portrayed in art history traditionally, how their fragility and fertility is on display, and how all these women are on museum walls as the subject matter, but yet there's so few female artists that share those same walls. And it's maddening, frankly. You know, I wanted to tap into that undercurrent of anger that I think a lot of women have been feeling in this country. And so that was kind of my inspiration. I created that headdress to wear for my photo reference. I wanted like a really lush floral motif as kind of a nod to all those traditional paintings. Something that I could hide a few pineapple hand grenades in.
I love that.
I spray painted them gold and to kind of symbolize how women are expected by society to hide their anger. It is seen as a strength for a man to show anger, but a weakness for a woman. And I wanted to put in that that symbolism as well.
I think, I mean, I try to, because yeah, not everybody out there can see it on your wall.
Thank you. Yeah. Quite amazing, really. I had to look at it several times before I really saw all the things that are in there.
It does. It looks a little innocuous at first. Mm-hmm. And you kind of dive into it and you see
Whoops.
There's something else here.
Absolutely.
Well, it's wonderful.
I felt the same way, Hillary. I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's incredible. And then I just kept looking deeper and deeper. And I was like, yes, yes. There was just such a emotional reaction for me the first time I saw your piece. And yeah. And I just love that it really does have all the components that Susan talked about as she described the show in general. Your piece really, you know, tied a lot of those things together. And I just, it's amazing. I'm going to actually try to share it. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try to share it. Let's see if we can share this screen. Now that we're learning how to do this, did that work, ladies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there it is. Is that exquisite?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can see those pineapple grenades right in there. You can see the bullets. And what do we call, obviously, the headdress part right here? What is it? I'm not an ammo person, you guys. What is it called when you get a whole, I know Nancy probably knows because her husband's in.
Yeah, this is my husband especially, but I'll have to think about that, what that's called.
But anyways, it's just, it's perfection. And I will say, Hillary, that I was like, when I saw that you listed yourself as an amateur, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope that this has just convinced her that she's not. It's exquisite. And if you're not ready to move on, we're all going to help you move on to that professional title. Is everyone in agreement with me on here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, while I'm sharing the screen, do you mind if I pull up Nancy's and we'll talk about Nancy's piece?
Perfect.
That's okay. Fine. Let's do that. So does that work for everybody? And obviously it's also behind her, but now you get double. We'll let you see it for a minute while she starts to talk, and then I'll pull back and you can see her and the framed version behind her. So Nancy, congratulations on your award depicting, you know, obviously the best watercolor. And it really, it's, I have loved this entire series. It's been especially moving to me personally because we know each other personally, but would love to hear a little bit more about your process, Susan mentioned. And then also, I don't know how many people know that you actually make your paints. And so we'd love to hear about that as well.
Oh yeah, sure. So my process, really, I do spend a lot of time photographing nature. I take all my own photographs. Then I do adjust those photographs for color, and I use them as a reference. I really do try and dig deep into my imagination. This painting definitely is part of that, like trying to experiment with pushing the boundaries of what natural color is and moving it away from the natural to that imagined area. The color is a vehicle that I use for that. That exaggerated color. I do make my own paint so that it can have more pigment in the paint. So I really find pigments. I purchase them. I'm not a pigment hunter. I'd like to become one, but I need to learn how to do that. But I get pigments from all over the world, and then I grind my own paint and I use that. So like the yellow is an example of that in this painting. And that's how come I make it less transparent than a traditional watercolor. And that's why it had the traditional watercolor paint that you would find. Hmm. And that's a big part of my process for me is controlling the color. I think I like to try and think about experience more than the natural representation of things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for choosing me, Susan. I appreciate it. It's great.
Well, you know, I've done a lot of work on watercolor painters, and I can really tell when somebody has stepped outside of the usual, you know, here is, you know, a depiction of nature and done something really marvelous and done something really original. And, you know, you have. It's really great. And it's really quite stunning.
Thank you. Thank you. And I also do tend to paint quite large. That's another thing. I do have a lot of paintings that are mural size that are with watercolor. And that's another way of kind of going outside of the tradition of watercolor and kind of stretching those boundaries is that and making it more contemporary. That's one way to do it is with size. So
one thing that I would mention too is that Nancy just completed a residency at the Bountiful Davis Art Center. And there you can actually, she basically covered all the walls of her room with a gigantic, never-ending mural garden. It was a garden and it just continues each wall. The piece just continues. So everyone make sure you check that out. I will put a link in the show notes so that you can go and see her, her residency work. It's just absolutely incredible. So if you love this, the way that she has really, like Susan said, jumped out of the box with her watercolor approach, you will absolutely love her whole residency, work. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
There's another thing that I'd kind of like to point out. It's the one, the origami cranes.
Okay.
You find that one.
Which page is it on, Marilyn? And right, if you want, I'll pull it up.
I think it's right next to Nancy's picture.
Okay. Let me see if I can share it.
I saw it there.
On the, okay. Okay. We're going to try to share that.
Or, yeah. It's special because it was done by a woman who was actually in internment in the Japanese internment camps.
It's page 11.
There we go.
Okay, now is it sharing on your screen? Can you see
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And actually, I redid this so that the pictures were separate. She had submitted one where they were all, she'd stocked them up against a window blind. But I wanted to get more detail out of them. But I managed to, I think they sent me pictures that were crops. So anyway, it's not the whole picture, and yet it explains what it's all about. The Wakami and Hiroshima, that is for the Hiroshima. Her parents were from that area.
Wow.
And they lived through that. And they got to the U.S., but then they were put in an internment camp. And so she spent 4 years at Amachi, which is over in Colorado. So that, you know, it's all very meaningful. And then the one on the right-hand side there, the Buddhist prayer for peace, that of course that is incredibly meaningful also. And apparently it's quite a thing in Japan to fold these cranes because it brings them peace and brings them a sense of doing something, I think, to reach out to perhaps a higher power and to just feel more in one, because they've been blown apart in a way. And she is 89.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Now, my understanding is she folded 1,000 cranes, origami cranes.
Yes. There's
a tradition that folding 1,000 origami cranes is can help someone in a difficult situation. And so obviously she's picked up on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I got 1,000, but that's true. That is what they're all kind of striving for. Once they start, that's they're trying to get to the 1,000. But being the artist that she is, so she put them together in a way that is just quite interesting. She won an award. Let's see here if I can find it. Yeah, okay. She actually is a cut glass. I don't know if this is or not, but this was her picture a few years ago, in 2013, and that is a tiger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Here, I'll stop sharing so you can show.
Okay.
Share that.
Yeah.
There it is. 2013.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Now, so did she, her, I'm not sure if this is the same person, but a few years back, and maybe it was a little bit longer than that, there was a beautiful installation at the BYU Art Museum, and they were cranes, hundreds, maybe thousands of them hanging, and they were so impressive. And this was when my older three were young, and it was probably one of our favorite things at the museum at the time. So I would not be surprised if that was also her work.
I don't think so, although I don't know for sure. But it doesn't, I don't think she got into that until just recently, but I could be very wrong about that.
So. Well, maybe she was inspired by it. It was absolutely stunning.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So at this point, I'm just going to remind everybody that even though this show is not a traditional opening and we haven't dropped off our work at the UCC, but even though that happened, Michael Christensen, who is the director of the UCC, and Melanie Budge, who is the head of their website design, and she does everything with the website, they have graciously launched the exhibition online. So what I've been sharing here, those of you that are watching on YouTube, it's all online. And so I will put a link to the online show in the show notes so that you can go to it yourself. And you can see, you can read the statements of each of the participating artists. There is more information and the specifically the main remarks that Susan made. And then also you can read a little bit more about the AAUW and specifically our local chapter. Anyways, there's going to be all sorts of information and you'll be able to go enjoy the show in a whole new way. So make sure that you go and take the time to go see the online show. And then Susan, you had a question for me.
Oh yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, again, I think this is partly, my question partly relates to what I was saying before about sort of the courage to be a woman, but you also sort of promote yourself as a woman, I mean, as a mother artist. And I was wondering how that came about and if it, I was wondering if it relates to the culture at large here, but it also may be that it's a way for you to promote what looks like a business that helps other artists to grow their, art.
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, this is such a great question. I don't know if anyone's ever asked me this, so this is a really good question, but I'll give you a little bit of background. So I actually grew up in Orange County, which you can surely understand. That's where Susan just moved from. And I actually grew up in Yorba Linda, so on the opposite side of the county, but similar culture down there. And I was personally quite bewildered by the culture here when I moved here with my husband. So we moved here when my oldest was a baby and it's been 16 years. And 3 years after we moved here, I had begun to sell my work regularly. And I opened up an online gallery with some local artists here in the Heber Valley. We also had one artist in Park City, but the rest of us were all from Heber Valley. And they were all local artist friends. Every single one of them were retired. And they were either retired from their professions or their children were officially out of the home. And so they felt like it was time that they could finally go after this passion of art. And so again, it was myself, a very young mom, and these friends, and they were all women except for one. We had one of the artists is a man, but the rest were all women. Okay. And I found so much strength from these friends. But I did notice that all of them, except for the man, had waited to follow their passions until after they'd either retired or their children had left the home. And at that same time, I was also having quite a few conversations with women in my life. And there were two themes that were coming up as a regular just a regular conversation. The first one was that it wasn't the season for me to be an artist, that there would be a time for me to be an artist, and that I just needed to bide my time and that season would come along eventually. And the other conversation, and some of these were even coming from my own mother, was that I needed to go back to school and I needed to go back to school to train to be an artist. Now, I had already graduated with Nancy. We both graduated from BYU. And then I went to UNLV and received an architecture degree, a landscape architecture degree. And I looked at my three toddlers who were three and under, and I knew what it was like to pursue more school, and having those three little people, it just didn't seem like a possibility at the time. And I was so far from university. I wasn't very close. There were just too many things. And so what I did was I knew that my vitality as a woman, friend, and yes, a mother depended on my creating every day. I've survived through childhood trauma and other really, really hard things and health issues. And I'm honestly still working on some of these things, the PTSD from some of these trauma. And really what had got me through was my creative projects. And so I wasn't willing to give up that that creative time and my painting passion that I had discovered. And I knew that I needed to paint for my own well-being, as well as it was the only way for me to become my best self. So then skip to a few years later, and it was really 6 years ago, we had just had our twins, so our fourth and fifth children, and I began participating on Instagram and applying for shows outside of Heber Valley. I decided to branch off, spread my wings, see what else was out there. And the more that I participated online and also locally, I started making friends with artists that were actually similar places in life that also were young mothers or just young women artists. And we would get together regularly and support one another. And I quickly realized that women artists were in need of support more than ever before. And that whether they were young, older, childless, mothers, all of them needed this amazing support. And you can tell this is why I'm so passionate about this show in particular. This is actually the purpose of my podcast, to support women in their passions, whether they're entrepreneurs, artists, mothers, anything under the sun. And the things that Hillary talked about, you know, all of those things, that's what this is all about. And so jumping back to your original question, what started happening were publications started reaching out to me wanting to know more about what it's like to mother five children and be a full-time artist. Artists around the world, I started to connect with them because they found me through this mother artist hashtag, right? My eyes were open and I realized that there were mother artists all over the world who also had young children. And where I thought that this was just something that we were locally surviving together, that it was truly a global experience that needed to be addressed as a whole. And so here I have found so much strength from connecting with these women. And so I've also found that a great majority of my collectors are supportive of my art because they know me personally as an artist, as a mother, and as a friend. And so while I could say the easy answer is that yes, I did find some benefits with SEO and marketing my work online and utilizing hashtags, but there's really so much more to it. And I'm so grateful, deeply grateful to be part of a culture of women artists that have embraced who they are and have not waited for the seemingly perfect season to create. I hope that answers your question, Susan. It's kind of a deep, deep question. Yeah, she's shaking her head. Yes. Well, I will say that thank goodness I'm not the only one that has this passion. And Nancy started at the beginning of our episode telling you about the representation of women. And she's been so good about following that lately. And so again, it's something that I'm grateful that Hillary talked about it, Nancy talked about it, I talked about it. Again, I feel like this is something that so many of us are feeling and we are finding ways to come together. And one of those ways is actually coming up pretty soon. And so I would love to have Nancy tell us about an upcoming show that she has curated at the Bountiful Davis Arts Center. And it obviously it's right along these lines. So go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, so somewhat inspired by this show, having been in it 2 years ago, and then also after kind of researching and seeing the statistics worldwide, and then myself doing the statistics for Utah. So one thing is, you know, that worldwide, you know, 51% of the artists are women, but 85% of the work exhibited, et cetera, sold is by men. So I did that in Utah, and so Utah has a higher percentage of women artists. 60% of the artists in Utah are women. And so I organized this show that it's going to be at the Bountiful Davis Arts Center. It's called Rouge, Utah Women's Voices. And it is going to be in conjunction with Better Days 2020 and the anniversary of the right to vote. there's going, well, I guess I don't know if the event is going to be held. An event was planned. I think they're waiting to see if they're going to be able to have the event because of the situation right now. But at any rate, they have an exhibit in conjunction with ours. And so I invited, I have about 30 artists from around Utah who have all been invited to explore the idea of what they view their role is as a woman in Utah today. And so we have some fascinating pieces that are coming in. It's going to be a great show. Each person has been invited to incorporate in some small way the color pink into their show as a nod to the contemporary women's rights movement. And I'm really excited about the show. Because of that. So this whole, the entire gallery or the entire Bountiful Davis Art Center will be dedicated to women's art for this month in commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the right to vote. And so it will be a great experience. I hope that you all take an opportunity to come to it and, or to look at it online. Because I tried to get a wide spectrum of artists that are working in Utah today to contribute their voice. And so I think it will be a great experience.
Very good. Good for
yeah,
you.
So we're super excited, and we just want to invite everybody to come. And again, hopefully this will be almost like a second act for this particular show. You can come and take that same spirit of intention and let's celebrate together, you know, again. And I believe that right now they're hoping the opening will be in August. Is that right, Nance?
Well, right now it's scheduled for August 7th. Whether it will open on that day, whether there will be a reception or not, I think remains to be seen. Just, I think they're going to wait to see if when it gets closer. That's kind of how it is right now. Just kind of going by, you know, just kind of playing it by ear, seeing how it goes. So.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And just we're going to wrap this up with just a question. You know, we shared the magic, a little bit of the magic of this show. And we talked about the importance. We've also talked about, you know, upcoming events, but also, you know, this has been a truly unique time and situation for artists, for collectors, all of those involved in the arts. I've talked a bit in previous episodes of things that we can do to support the arts community. For example, instead of attending a concert that's now been canceled, I can actually donate the amount that I would have spent on my entry ticket to the group or foundation. I can also give a month's tuition to dancers that I know directly or to the teachers of a music and dance studio. I would love to hear each of your thoughts and ideas, ways that you think that we can support our community and individual artists at this time locally, but then also throughout the world, because truly this is something that we are facing together. So Hillary, how do you feel about all this stuff?
Oh, it has been such a crazy time. You know, kind of seeing firsthand some of this, you know, real heartbreak and struggle that people are going through. One thing I have tried to do is I've tried to buy some art just from an artist that I love. I just bought a piece last week, actually. And, you know, I follow a lot of artists on Instagram. I reach out, and if I see something I like, I inquire about it. And, so, you know, if you're able to purchase a piece of art from an artist that you like.
That is excellent. Excellent. Very just perfect advice, Hillary. Thank you. And I love too how it seems like such a simple thing, but it makes such a difference. And if we all were able to just make one more purchase and help, you know, it would help not only these particular artists, but it helps get all of us purchasing and helps our economy. Marilyn, how about you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been so involved in what I've been doing, which is really supporting the idea, that I haven't really gotten much beyond that. But I think what Nancy's doing is wonderful. I think more exhibits are just dedicated to women. Yeah. I think that'd be very helpful. Also, I really feel like I need to mention this, that the this is where we get the support. Now, is that backwards or forwards?
That's right.
It's good. It looks good from here.
Okay,
and
we'll, right.
should we read them out loud for the people that can't actually see it? So these are the big supporters of the show, the National Endowment for the Arts or arts.gov. And then also saltlakecounty.org. And then the Utah Cultural Celebration Center, the UCCC, and Utah Division of Arts and Museums. Those were the main ones. I know that you guys also have support from the County Zoo, the Salt Lake County Zoo and Arts and Parks.
Yes, the Zoo Arts and Parks, yes. And then many, many, many donors from AUW who donate every time for every show. And some of them are quite big donors. It's really a lot of support there.
I love it. So even if you just support any of these foundations and groups, you are still indirectly supporting our community. Right. Thank you, Marilyn. That's perfect. And how about you, Susan? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm so new. I didn't really know how to support artists other than I really felt like I was helping by working with Marilyn on this exhibition. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, I also learned probably a lot, or at least as much as I did contributing to it. I have felt a bit frustrated because I wanted to really help physically. You know, I wanted to, I don't know, give out food to people or something like that. So I just decided I would donate to the food bank here, to the pantry. Perfect. And it's probably getting to some of the artists out there, I would imagine.
Oh, it absolutely is. I will mention that Chandra Benito, she's the director of Art Access and their gallery downtown, but they're also a major, they support all kinds of things and they're a nonprofit. And so she has been going out and helping deliver food. And so again, you know, I believe that whatever it is that we are doing to support one another, whether it's directly or indirectly, I think that it does help everyone. So thank you. That's a great, great idea. And then Nancy, how about you?
Well, of course, you know, my focus is now to work on shows that are focused on women and help promote women. I think it's our responsibility as women, whether you know you like or you favor their art or not, to help women in any way. I think women are so underrepresented that it's your responsibility just to help and lift in any way that you possibly can. This whole situation has caused me to really rethink, you know, how we do things. And I think that really focusing to building up more opportunities online is something I really have to work on, you know, for artists. I think everybody has to work on this. But I think this, in some ways, it's been a good experience because now we're really, I mean, it's because it's pushing us or it's pushing me to rethink all the ways that I'm doing things and to reimagine and to keep working on things. One thing I think that's been a positive experience from this is just one little thing that's affected me is that, so, you know, I took this art class in England and I had to go to England. Katrina knows because she went with me. I had to go to England to take this class that I wanted to go to. Well, because of this whole situation, they've been now, this organization is now offering their classes online and through Zoom. I just think that's so awesome. So now I'm getting to take a class in England on Zoom. And so that'll be starting next week. So I think it's just, so, I mean, I guess I'm supporting them in that way by purchasing that class or, you know, supporting an artist by purchasing that class. But I just think we need to all think of ways to work on this, you know, and find ways to do things in a new way than we wouldn't have normally done it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And that is super exciting. It's the iconic, what are they calling it?
Yeah. Oh, well, so this is an icon. Yeah. The Elias Icon Center is now, which is religious art, which is another, which is outside of my normal watercolor practice. But I take these religious art classes and so now they're going to do it on Zoom. And it's so great because I get to, you know, when I don't have to go to England and I can do it at home. And I just think it's so awesome,
yes.
You know?
It really is, because I'll just say that when, so Nancy went and spent, was it 10 days at the Icon workshop?
Well, yeah, it was a week.
It was a week. And then She and I spent another week. I met up with her and we went and painted and got to go exploring up in Scotland. And that was really wonderful. But I remember the conversation that we had was, Nancy said, I don't know when I'm going to get to do this again.
Yeah.
And what a gift it is that they're doing it online. And I agree with Nancy. I think we're all learning how to step it up. And I think that, you know, we can all serve our people better. We can all, you know, continue to lift and support each other. And we just need to find new ways to do it, you know, and I think it'll be great. I thought of while you were talking, I thought, wouldn't it be great for somebody to just say to an artist or a friend that they know does not have a website up right now, I'm gonna donate $100 for you to get a website up, because I have too many artist friends that say, oh, I don't have an email list, I don't have an email newsletter yet. Well, here's $40 for you to get started, because I want you to take the time to do that, because I know it's going to help you. So that's another thing. If you know of any artists that you love that you are on their email list, go ahead and forward an email that you like to somebody, or share it on Facebook, a piece that you like by them. And I think there's just little things that we can do that we don't necessarily have to donate money. We could just donate our appreciation and our time with others. And I think that it will really help. So just, you know, pay it forward. And I think that's what this show is all about. Like, if you talk about the women that are the foundation of this show, that that donated their time, their talents to the community at large. Oh, some of them, you know, 100 years ago, which is just so impressive. And again, if they can pay it forward and make such a positive difference on each of our lives here today, just think of what little things that we can do to do the same. Because I'm sure if we had them here today, they would say they were small things. Those were small acts of creative love that I gave. That was not that great of a thing. I can't believe you've made a trust in my name. But in reality, those things all added up to be great things. So anyways, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, ladies, for all that you do for our community, for the people in your life. I know that it makes such a big difference, and these are the things that make life beautiful. And so thank you again for participating. Do you have any last words that you want to say before we say goodbye to our listeners?
It's been wonderful for me to just have these conversations with the artists. I'm just delighted, and to see Susan. Susan and I worked a lot together and really became friends, but I had never met her. So it's great. It's a wonderful opportunity. Thank you so much, Katrina, for doing this.
I'd just like to say, I find you all very inspiring, and the exhibition has been inspiring, working with Marilyn, and just your comments today. Just wonderful, really inspiring. And I really hope we all get to meet at Bountiful. I hope that show has an opening, so maybe we can all meet in person then.
Well, I'll send you the information, Susan. I'll make sure you get it, but I hope to meet all of you as well. I hope you all come to that. And thank you, Katrina, for organizing this. You're amazing how organized you are and how you do lift and inspire us all. So thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
And Marilyn, you mentioned ERA earlier, and like, bestill my heart.
Oh, yes. That's one of the things AUW has really been working towards. Really hard.
I feel like kind of met my tribe here today. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. Oh, I'm so glad. You ladies are wonderful. Thank you again. I really appreciate it. And yes, let's meet up in Bountiful, even if it's not an official, maybe they'll let us make an appointments and go in small groups to the exhibit. And that would be really fun. And I would encourage anyone listening that if that's the case, and we do need to make appointments, take your favorite women and go to the show, bring your husbands, let them know how important these ideas are, because the more that we show them, they are such amazing men. And And the reason why so many of us are able to do the things that we do is because we have these feminist husbands and men in our lives that are doing good things. So share these things with all of your loved ones. And thank you again, ladies. This is a wonderful show. And so many thanks to Michael Christensen and all of the UCCC, and of course, the entire committee and supporters of our local chapter of the AAUW. So again, go ahead, Marilyn. Did you want to say one more thing?
Just thank you to you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks again, everyone. And I just want to say thank you to all. And we are sending so much love here from the Candy Colored Studio, Logan, Salt Lake, Bountiful. So much love from all of us. And we wish you all a happy quarantine and much love and comfort and peace from our group. So long.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.